Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
You're very welcome to a brand new week of Late Lunch on LMFM Radio. Louise, I forgot to tell you something off air there. Would you open Common Late Lunch and open up Paul McGinley there for a second for me? Listeners won't know what we're talking about. You and I know what we're talking about here. Anyway, just open it up there for a second because I'm going to need it in a second. Welcome to the show. Winter is still with us, sorry to say, but I did promise you that today would be sort of the last day of it. It's freezing out there. It's Baltic. The wind, it cut you. It cut through you and the rain as well. Louise, it is going to pick up, isn't it? We have to give them all the greatest hope ever. As the week goes on.
I believe by the weekend, temperatures will be in the teens.
Ooh, high teens, hopefully. It will be. And the rain will have gone away at long last, but it's cruel out there today. It was a mad sporting weekend. Commiserations to you. Commiserations to me.
Hammered.
To everyone in Meath.
Kicked
out the gate.
Those.
Well done to Louth, who are through to the semi-final of the Leinster Championship against Kildare. But look, they may take Dublin out of Leinster. There's no point. It's pointless, become pointless. Throw them into Ulster where they'll get a bit of competition and let the rest play for the Leinster title.
It's boring, hasn't it?
It's a total waste of time, I have to say. On the soccer front, the FAI chief is gone today.
You saw that,
Jonathan Hill. No surprise in my book. And mother of God, the fallout from Delaney continues. We have no international senior manager. No one knows where that's going. It's gone on months and months. We got rid of Vera Powell. An absolute major mistake as the women's international manager. An absolute catastrophe that was. And we have a League of Ireland where if your fans riot and go mad, they don't penalise the clubs in question. You know what I'm talking about, the flares and that. They penalise the club, the other club. So say Shelburne should be penalised for what happened in Drogheda with the flare, but they're not. Their fans just can't go to Galway. So the Galway club loses a substantial amount of money. Do you know what I mean, Louise, with visiting fans and everything over there? What brain dead people are involved in the association? No, honestly, in the name of God, you penalise the club who offends. So you close Talca Park for a match. You penalise Shelburne. You hit them in the pocket. You hit their fans. You close their stadium. Same if it's Drogheda or Dundalk. If the fans are offside, something happens. You close Oriel Park or United Park. That is just simple logic. The FAI. Oh my God. I'll tell you one thing. In terms of sporting organisations, they take the biscuit. Honestly, it's shocking. It really is. The departure of Hill, let's see what happens from here. But by God, they have just hit nearly rock bottom with the way things are at the moment. And where does it go? The only way is up, perhaps. The other thing, the golf, you didn't, not like me, you did stay up, but not because to watch golf. You weren't up watching golf. No. I stayed up, of course, after 12. The Masters Golf, Scottie Scheffler, number one in the world, won the Masters. Would you play that little clip there? Paul McGinley joined me on Late Lunch towards the end of March. Listen to McGinley here. Have a listen.
I think it's easy to say that you fancy Scottie Scheffler at the moment. This guy, you know, his statistics are off the scale. We haven't seen golf play to a consistent level and as high a standard as he's played since Tiger Woods at his very height. And not even just the standard Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods at his very best. This guy is matching that standard. So what I like about him is he quietly goes about his business in a very, very competitive manner. His course management is off the scale compared to everybody else in the game. That's where he gets an edge. And, he's won a couple of weeks ago. He won back-to-back events. He's in good form going in here. And, he's a guy who's going to win, you know, many, many major championships if he remains healthy, because it looks like he's the full package.
On Late Lunch, Paul McGinley called it, Louise, and our Danny McAvoy. I want to say hello to Danny today. Was listening, backed Scheffler at a nice price and won on him. I had the second fella, Åberg, the young Swede, back to win it. He did very well. His first major, his first Masters, he was fantastic. So a little payback there on that guy. Anyway, that's our sporting review heading into a brand new week. I'm sure the man waiting on the line to talk to me is probably yawning at this point in time. Tom Keogh, welcome back to Late Lunch.
Delighted to be back, Jerry. I'm not yawning, don't you worry. Delighted to speak with you.
Great to have you with us, Tom, on the show. Well, look, you heard us mentioning the weather there, and of course we've been talking to different people in different businesses about how this incessant wet weather since really last October has affected everybody. I was just looking, you guys in 2023 last year needed 18 million potatoes to produce your wonderful Keogh's crisps. How are you fixed this year, or how are you going to be fixed with things?
Yeah, it's extremely tough. Every year, Mother Nature just throws the dice, and you just have to play the cards you've been given. This year, I actually just looked at some numbers there, and in the last 9 months, so this is going back to July. Everybody remembers last July of 2023, and that's really when the bad weather really started to hit. We had 400% more rain than we normally would have in July of last year. The last 9 months, we've averaged out at 53% more rain than we normally would have. And that's measured at the Dublin Airport Met Office there. So it's about a foot. We've had a foot more rain than we normally would have. So it's played absolute havoc. And the reason why it's so bad is because we're coming off a really bad season in 2023, whereby we had the wettest March on record. All the planting was pushed on really late. The crops didn't yield as well as they could have. And then on top of that, we had the really bad weather in the autumn. So the harvest was impacted and a lot of potato growers didn't get all their crops out of the ground. So there's a shortage as a result. So we were all sitting back and praying that we would have an early spring. Because an early spring means that we'll have our crops in a few weeks early, which means the harvest season will be a few weeks early. And that would help to alleviate the issues we're having on supply. But unfortunately, the early spring hasn't materialised. If anything, it's worse than it's ever been. And we're facing severe shortages. And what's unique about this is that it's not just Ireland. It's Ireland, it's the UK, and it's all across Europe. And it has affected supplies. It's affected potato pricing. My father hasn't seen potatoes so expensive since the early 70s.
Yes.
When it was another big weather event caused this. So yeah, we are in trouble, and you know, your listeners will see it across the market. The price of potatoes on the shelf have gone up. The price of any type of potato related products, crisps, chips, you name it, like the prices have gone up as a result.
And that's the trend, Tom. That's the way it's going to be for the foreseeable future, because you're very late now. You know about the growing of the earlies and everything. We were talking to Country Crest last week on the show, and they have virtually nothing in at this stage. What are you going to do?
Well, in regards to the potato crisps, we're actually okay. I'm lucky. I have enough crop in our own stores to get us right through until August, and hopefully our planting, it's not too late yet for potatoes. We're still okay.
Yeah.
Last year we didn't get planting until the end of the first week in May, and we're still a few weeks away from that, so we're still looking okay on that front. In regards to the fresh potato market that we supply, the likes of Super Value and Aldi and Spar and Eurospar, and those, there is not enough potatoes around to actually supply that. And you will start to see big shortages in the marketplace from June onwards. And unfortunately, the early potatoes that you just spoke about there that would normally start to arrive into the market around the end of June, then there's nothing planted. So it's a very unique situation.
And you, I just look, you supply Rooster, Golden Wonder, Mars Piper, Queens. Queens, of course, are the early as well. So a fair selection there of all, you know, first early, second early, main crop as well. What's going to fill the void? You know, we know in previous years, you know, you see Cyprus potatoes, say, coming in just for a short spell. You know this as well, Tom, before our own came on stream here, and then everybody wanted them, you know, at that stage. Are you telling me that there's problems there as well, that even that little window?
There are, yeah, there are problems all across Europe. But you will see more of that this year. You will see more Italian, Cyprus yeah. and Spanish potatoes on Irish shelves. And I know that there's a lot of French potatoes coming into the country at the moment as well. Even though they have their issues in their own country, they are coming in and people are starting to get supply of those products to fill the shelves here. But regardless of that, it's going to be a very, very tight summer, and potatoes will be in very, very short supply.
Tom, I'm going to ask you something. Maybe this is just too much of an ask for people like yourself on the scale you grow at. But like, I have a small little tunnel, and I have a wee greenhouse as well. And anything I have protected is doing well. But you know what I'm talking about, protection. Is there a case, if the weather continues to move in this very wet trend for years to come, for putting up tunnels, or you know what I mean, polythene tunnels, more of them, and trying to grow potatoes that way?
God, Jerry, I might send a harvester down your way and lift that. I could probably do with them.
But you know what I'm getting at, though? Is it practical at all, do you think?
It wouldn't be practical, and even to get the equipment into the likes of those type of tunnels, etc., to work, wouldn't be that practical. Now, in saying that, we have potatoes in glasshouses here. Our very, very earliest potatoes are here in glasshouses at the moment, undercover, and they will be ready towards the end of April, early May. But that is, you are talking 5-day supply. It's absolutely tiny, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So in the big scheme of things, it's not going to have any real impact. So it's one. I suppose the thing is, we're dealing with Mother Nature, and everybody can see the issues that all the farmers around Ireland are dealing with, and that we're just talking about potato growers. Cereal growers are in a worse position. There are cereal growers, they have not got their winter crops in because of the autumn we have. And everybody was hoping for an early spring, and that hasn't materialized. So for the first time in my living memory, there are cereal crops that are just not going to be planted. And for the first time, land will just be left fallow for the entire growing season.
It's an incredible situation. It really is. I did mention I've been watching the weather. There is good hope as the week moves on. A big high is to move in, and long, long may that last. Tom, I'm saying it to you again as a grower. If I hear anybody giving out to you fellas for water and crops, if it gets dry later on, I'll actually break up the shop here. I really will. Are we hear anything about that? In the name of God, no.
Jerry, you can nearly set your clock by. As soon as this rain stops, it's going to stop, and you probably will be praying for rain come July and August.
That's
what we'll be dealing with. Yeah.
Oh Lord Almighty, it could only be Ireland for sure. I was on a few flights recently, and I sampled your crisps. The airlines. How important is the airlines for you? You know, us Irish know who you are, etc. But perhaps introducing what you do to other palates.
Yeah, really important for us. It's a great little area of our business. We make a very innovative little product. We actually size grade out little small crisps and put them in little small bags, and we set the bags at a certain air content so that they don't over expand when it gets on the planes. And we went to the industry with this solution about 6 years ago, and the industry really took it up. So we started with Emirates, and we're global now with Emirates. Then we actually started with Singapore Airlines there last year. So that's going very, very well. We're with Aer Lingus. Actually, just recently we started the transatlantic with Aer Lingus, and I didn't even know it started. I was actually on a flight to LA there about a month ago, and I was served a pack of my own crisps. I was absolutely delighted. But we're also getting wind with the likes of Lufthansa, and I think we just started with Delta out of Europe as well. So it's a lovely little business, and it's a great way to introduce our product to a global audience.
How many flavours? Is it 18 you have now across the crisp range? Is it
18? Yeah. It's about that, about 18. And then there's a few ones that you probably wouldn't get in Ireland that you'd only kind of get overseas because they don't really suit Irish palates, etc. So there's 18 probably, plus maybe up to 20, I'd say, at least at the moment, yeah.
Fantastic. I spotted one that I haven't tasted, and I couldn't believe it because myself and Louise, both of us, we love blue cheese, and you have a casual blue cheese and caramelised onion, Tom.
Yeah. Oh, lovely flavour. Lovely flavour. It was actually a limited edition.
Was it?
We did in the Irish market 2 years ago.
Oh, right.
And with that limited edition, what we did was we actually offered it to some customers in America, and they really liked it. And that casual blue cheese flavour now sells extremely well in America. So we continue to sell it over there. but it's a good example of a flavour that actually doesn't sell that well in Ireland.
Yeah.
I think the Irish palate is not, like, blue cheese would be quite a marginal flavour here in Ireland. But in America, it's a mainstream flavour. You know, and they really do buy it.
There you go. I'll have to make sure on my next trip there I look them up. Louise has a question for you. Now, listen to this question. Louise has been dying to ask you this question for a long time. Go on, ask him now. Away you go.
When you make a crisp sandwich, all right?
Yeah.
What do you put into it? You know, the way some people just have just the crisps and butter and then other people add sauces and everything.
And
so I just wondered yourself, like, what would you put into it?
Oh, well, for me, it's fresh white bread.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Loads of butter.
Mm-hmm. Real butter or margarine?
Oh, no, real butter.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking Kerrygold here. You have to, you have to go with the full hog. Yeah, and loads of it. And then Kyo's cheese and onion.
Crisp. So you know the way some people add red sauce, brown sauce,
no.
slice of cheese?
No.
I'm with you.
I wouldn't be in that camp, no. Keep it simple.
Oh, but look, the flavour of that, jeepers almighty, you know, fresh white bread, the Kerrygold butter and your wonderful crisps. You don't really need anything else.
Oh, you haven't had lunch yet. You're making me hungry here now.
Hey, listen.
It's all hungry.
Listen, you, Mr. Tom Keogh, we never get lunch any day. Will you start playing the violin for us? Never do we get
lunch. We start chewing our nails at about 3 o'clock.
That's
here.
What happens when you have a lunchtime radio show.
That's exactly what happens, Tom. It does indeed. Listen, it is on a serious note, it is going to hit us all in the pockets across the board, with potatoes, with crisps, with chips. You can expect the bag of chips as well, all that type of thing. This is what lies ahead. So listen, anyways, good luck to you. I hope the weather picks up as promised, Tom, and you get the potatoes into the ground. As you say, there is still time. We're only in mid-April. You have into May as well, and there'll be a bit of a catch-up later on in the year.
Please God, yeah, and do give it a shout in a few months' time. I'd be delighted to keep you updated on progress.
I will, and I'm saying it again. I'll be up to you. Louise is going to kill me. She said, "Don't say that again on the air, and not go up to the man. I'll choke you." Yeah. No, Tom, I will be up to see you. I promise
you. You're very welcome.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Well, bye-bye.
Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. That's the MD of Kyo's Crisps there, Mr. Tom Keogh. So you can expect price increases, a crisp crunch for sure. Well, we might be able to help you on Late Lunch this week, because I have €100 in cash to give away every day on the show, and I'm going to tell you how you can win it next. It's simple, I promise. Windsor Cluny, they're the main Nissan and Peugeot dealers, have a big certified used car sales event on right now. There's fantastic savings to be had in used cars and a 3-year warranty on over 100 certified used cars. They're well worth checking out. Give them a shout at Windsor Cluny, main Nissan and Peugeot dealers. And to mark their big event, they've given us on Late Lunch a €100 in cash to give away every day, which will be paid to you by means of a digital MasterCard. Yes, it's the new way of doing things, the way of today. Anyway, €100 in cash every day on Late Lunch to be won. How can they win it, Louise? Well, you know what we want them to do? We want you to do this. Are you ready, folks? We want you to honk your horn for the €100, okay? Honk your horn
for
the €100. It's as simple as that. What I mean is, get your phone now. Honk your horn in your car and record it and WhatsApp it in to me on 086 1800 658 and you're in the draw, as simple as that, with your name and details. Will you do it for €100? Honk your horn, record it on your phone and send it in to us by WhatsApp, 086 1800 658 with your name and details, and we'll pick a winner today and each day this week. Would you do it? Would you do it for €100? Of course you would. I'd do it for €100.
Simple.
It's a simple thing. Honk your horn in the car, record it, WhatsApp it into us, and you're in for the €100. It's a very, very simple. Get cracking now. You've plenty of time over the next hour and a half or so, and we'll name a winner and pick a winner before the end of the show. Windsor Cluny, should I say, main Nissan and Peugeot dealers. They're certified used car sales event. 100 cars there. Check them out. They've given us that €100 each day to give away. Honk your horn for €100 on Late Lunch this Monday afternoon.
Just be careful where you do it.
Oh, yeah. Please.
Are you not behind anybody traffic light?
Yeah, don't do it behind. Oh, Louise, thanks for mentioning that. Don't do it in traffic or traffic. You're right. Unless you're sure the red light is just started or something, and you'd be there for a few minutes, and then you'll have fists coming out of the car, waving fisty or whatever. Yeah. But that's a good thing. Yes, do take care when doing this. A good point made. Louise, I saw something on Saturday in my garage, and it's just a simple little thing. I was out doing a bit of work, catch up in the garden, in the garage, and I just looked on the floor and I saw this little creature on the floor, and I looked at it again, and you know what it was, Louise? A butterfly.
Butterfly.
A butterfly. Now, it's early enough, you know what I mean? The weather's cold. I mean, wake the butterfly hibernated in my garage and had just awoken from its hibernation. And it was just flapping its little wings in and out, in and out. I went out and I nearly walked on the way back into the garage. I thought I ended it before it got going. Anyway, it was still there. So what did I do? I picked the little butterfly up in my hands, cupped him, and brought him into, or her, wherever, into my greenhouse, right, where it was warm, and let her out in the greenhouse. And I waited a little while I was reading. The next thing, flutter, 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 it took off. It started to fly around the greenhouse, finding its wings or that. And then I guided it out the door and away it went. Now, God knows, going out into that weather, what happened. But at the end of the day, I thought it was just lovely to see a creature waking up from, you know.
What colour was it? Was it Red Admiral or did they have white?
Red Admiral. Yeah, Red Admiral. Beautiful. Beautiful Red Admiral butterfly. Absolutely gorgeous. The colours on it. And off it flew out into the yonder. And God knows what happened. But I was there. Imagine that egg was laid or whatever and turned into a larva. Then it stayed there all over the winter, cocooned itself, and out it came the other day and away it went. And God only knows what happens there. But I just thought I'd mention it the show today. Yes. And a little touch of nature as well. It was just lovely. The little simple things that give me a thrill is at times I wonder. But you know, there's something in that. There's something close to nature and really, really nice in that. Somebody says, you didn't mention the soccer the weekend, Jerry. Oh, I forgot. Drogheda, I was at the game on Friday night against Derry. Great point. Wonderful performance. Dundalk got a point as well against St. Pat's. What about yesterday in the Premier League? Liverpool, that quadruple looks to be in bits for Liverpool. Liverpool said they were going to win the four cups, Louise. Mm. The Premier League, the Europa League, the League Cup and the FA Cup. They have the League Cup, they won it, but it looks like it might be all they have this year. The Arsenal did what the Arsenal do.
Nothing.
Blew it yesterday against Aston Villa. Man City for the league, Louise. I'd said it many times.
Yeah, you did, actually.
I've said it all the time. Manchester City, it's Manchester City's league after yesterday. That is for sure. There's no doubt about that. They're honking their horns across
already?
The northeast. Will you look?
You'll have to listen in now.
We're going to listen into some of them now in a few minutes. And we'll pick a winner before the end of the show. Honk your horn today. WhatsApp it into us to 086 1800 658 to win €100. Taking us up the top of the hour, it's Miss Belinda Carlisle. And leave a light on. Don't leave the lights on in your car, but honk the horn for sure. Coming up after two, Heather Morris is with me, the author of that wonderful book, The Tattooist of Auschwitz. News and weather on the way. Thank you so much. You've gone mad honking your horns all over the northeast, and we're going to come to them in a wee while on the show, and you can have a listen to what's coming to us. When you're sending them in to 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp, please put your name and details with them. Some aren't. So you've got to honk your horn, send it in to us by WhatsApp for €100 cash today, but put your name and details. Thank you so much for that. Let's move on the show this afternoon, and I'm really delighted to say hello to my next guest, because you see, I spoke to her when her wonderful book, The Tattooist of Auschwitz, was flying high in the bestsellers charts, and it did, not for months, but for years on end. You see, now the book has been optioned for television, and a new 6-part series is about to begin, and she has worked on the production as story consultant. Welcome back to Late Lunch, Heather Morris. Hello again.
Hello. It's so lovely to be talking to you again. And yes, hello and kia ora to everybody listening.
Thank you for joining us on the show today. Well, look, I don't have to remind people again. The book was just unbelievable. In total, Heather, what did it sell all over the world? It's incredible, isn't it?
Look, I hear figures between 13 and 17 million copies. Yes, it's all crazy. And yeah, those are numbers I struggle to process.
they're unbelievable. But as I told you back at the time, I got the book quite early on myself, and it made a huge impression on me. Now, I suppose when it is your baby, Heather, let's say the book, and then it's transferred to another medium, you know, television, this wonderful 6-part series. I know you've been consulted on it. Are you happy with what's emerged?
Oh, utterly. It's brilliant. And hi, folks. I'm sorry, but I've seen all six episodes and you are going to love it. You're going to love the acting, the directing. The cast are amazing. And then the music by the incredible one and only Hans Zimmer and Cara Telve takes it to another level.
Harvey Keitel, I mentioned just one name from a stellar lineup, but he takes a big part in this as well. It's some endorsement to have a name like that in a production, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And he's just lovely. I spent some time with him in Slovakia prior to filming, and it was beautiful to be able to sit down with him, just him and I, and over a period of hours, talk about the man that he's portraying, the man who I spent 3 years getting to know and love. And so for me, to be able to share that with Harvey, I'd already sent him several videos so he could see what he was like. But to be able to now sit with him and have him now, show me how he walked, show me how he sat. Mm. How would he get up from a chair? All these wonderful things. I'm so, so indebted to him.
Just shows you what the real pro does. In other words, to immerse themselves in the character.
Oh, absolutely. And oh, he is utterly, utterly superb. He brings tears to my eyes seeing him because, in my words, you know, guys, he gave me back Lully. He's given me back my Lully.
Mm. And of course, the story is about Lully Sokolov, a Slovakian Jew who arrived in Auschwitz, Birkenau, that infamous camp in Poland. And he had to tattoo all those who came into the camp. He was one of a number, but he was a tattooist there as well. Yes. And remind us again how you became friendly with him, how you knew him.
Oh, look, it was one of those crazy situations of having a cup of coffee with a friend I hadn't seen for a while and her just casually saying to me, oh, I have a friend whose mother has just died. His father has asked him to find somebody he can tell a story to, and that person can't be Jewish. You're not Jewish. I am, my friend said. Would you like to meet him? And I said yes.
And the rest is history. He told his story to you and you were eventually able to produce this wonderful book. Did he live to see the book written, or did he pass away before the book was published?
He never saw the novel written, but in my sort of ignorance of knowing how to write a story, I initially attempted to tell it by way of a screenplay, because both Lully and I saw his story playing out on a screen. Mm. And so I went to some courses on how to write a screenplay. And they come with rules and a formula, but he saw many, many drafts of the screenplay. He was working with me and with a production company in Melbourne who were trying to actually film this nearly 20 years ago. So, the novel is my adaptation of my very amateurish screenplay.
Don't be doing yourself a disservice. But, you know, you have many parallels. It was a long time afterwards that you met Lally. And from your point of view as well, you had a quite different life until 1996 when you decided to follow your passion for storytelling and begin to write.
Well, yes, and my passion for story writing is not quite true. What I had was the passion for storytelling.
Right.
But I was lazy. And so for me, I would much prefer to tell a story than actually go to the trouble of writing it down. So, yes. Whether that's a good thing, maybe it's a good thing ultimately that I waited so long.
Well, thank God it was better late than never, may I say, Heather. look at what we would have lost out on. But when you think of the tattooist, because there's been much more since, and you have got down to work since, because Silke's Journey followed, then Three Sisters Under the Rising Sun and Stories of Hope. And really, Lally and his story brought you to a whole new, cadre of people who had stories to tell too.
And there's so many more. Look, we get all the time, myself, my publishers here, my publishers in Australia, of course, all the time we have these wonderful stories coming to us. I mean, that's how Three Sisters got told, because a man picked up a copy of the book in Canada, took it to visit his mum in Tel Aviv. She saw the title and she said, I know that man and that woman. Mm. And from there, I got their story and others. And while I'm about to, I'm doing some research into a few right now. Again, all have come to me.
Yes, and you know,
very, very lucky.
Yes, you know, it's amazing the way things happen in life. I mentioned your life before writing and that as well. Of course, you are from New Zealand originally. You moved to Australia then, had your family, went back to New Zealand when you went back there, had a family there, etc. And sport, here's the one thing, I never mentioned this to you before. You were a very, very handy sportswoman.
Well, as a kid, most New Zealanders, it's what you do. You get involved in sport. That's what New Zealand people like to do. And so as a teenager, of course, then becoming a mom, it kind of drops away because you're now taking your kids to their sport.
Mm.
But then I did get to the point, well, you know what, I'm going back to it. And I chose to, as an older person, do what they call become a thrower.
Yeah.
So do not put a shot put in my hand and stand anywhere near me. I can heave that thing.
Not alone shot put, discus, javelin and hammer as well. You became a very accomplished. You were good at when you were younger, really good, and then went back, as you say, at the veteran stage and really excelled yet again. You have so many strings to your bow. I suppose in the context of the book and the world, I have to mention the world is just at the moment a very difficult place with all the strife and conflict that's going on, Heather. I'm sure that's not lost on you at this point.
Oh, utterly not. And yesterday morning, I'm sitting in my hotel here in London and I wake up to the latest news in the Middle East. Mm. And the first thing I did was pick up my phone and ring the families that I know there.
Yes.
The families who gave me that wonderful story of the three sisters, of Livy, of Magda and Sibby. I needed to know how they were and, of course, find out how Livy, she's now 98, the last surviving sister. But then on the other hand, of course, my heart breaks for everybody else across the border in the Gaza.
Yes.
And I know that that family that I have, they're not my biological family, but my family, and it was repeated to me yesterday by them who had just undergone this horrific attack overnight, that their hearts also break. For everybody involved in this horrific conflict right now. It's got to end. It's got to end.
Thank you for saying that, Heather. You reflect what we feel here in Ireland as well, that it's just got to stop. It's got to stop from all aspects. And the loss on all sides is just horrific. Yes. It really is. And then, of course, that random attack in Australia, closer to home where you come from as well. My God almighty. It's just shocking. It really, really
it's
is.
It's worrying, isn't it?
It is. It's really worrying. Back to the Tattooist, because I just want to mention the 6-part TV series is going out very soon. Have you broadcast dates for it?
Yes, it's the 2nd of May. So not long. That's why I'm here in London. We've had the premiere here a few days ago, which was a pretty amazing thing for me to be strutting around with all these wonderful actors and directors and producers. But can I just let your wonderful, wonderful listeners know something about the miniseries that they might go, oh, that's different.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how important it is for books to screen for readers. I don't care about the TV audience at this point, but all those wonderful readers to fall in love with the miniseries. Now, there is one significant difference to it, and that is, you mentioned Harvey Keitel.
Mm.
Well, Harvey Keitel, or his character, Lully's character, as an old man, is not in the book.
Right.
And so where this now changes, and it's happened with, of course, my approval and support, is that Lully is an older man, and the actress Melanie Lynskey playing me.
Mm.
You're going to see two new characters, but it is in fact old Lully and myself, and you're going to hear the story play out through him, through Harvey Keitel, talking with my character.
Yes.
And it works. It absolutely works.
And you know, it had to be that way, may I say to you, to make this work, to make the adaptation work for television as well. And it's great of you to mention that. And that is the distinction from the book. But you will see, as Heather says there, the way it actually does play out. It's actually going to be available from the beginning of May on Sky Atlantic, which we, of course, all receive here in Ireland, and on the streaming service Now. So it's widely available, and it is 2nd of May. it's coming to our television screens. Listen, it's lovely to chat to you again, Heather. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. And I wish you all the very best with everything you do.
Thank you. And I'd love an opportunity to talk again with you. And after it's come out, and perhaps you've got some feedback from some of your listeners and see what they think.
Absolutely. We'll put that on the calendar for sure. Until then, Heather Morris, thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. She's lovely. Heather Morris, wonderful book coming to our TV screens. But I reiterate what she said there again. Please stop the war. On all sides, it must stop sooner rather than later, because it's just shocking. It really is truly shocking. You're with Late Lunch on LMFM Radio. Beep, beep. Back in a moment with your honk the horns. Windsor Cluny, main Nissan and Peugeot dealers. They have a fantastic range of certified used cars, over 100 of them. And it is their certified used car sales event going on at the moment. Give them a shout. They look after you for sure. They're giving us €100 in cash each day this week on Late Lunch. And all we want you to do is honk your horns for the €100. Louise, can we have a listen to some of the horn honkers from across the northeast, please?
Get through as many as possible.
Here we go. Who's this?
Kathleen Conlon in Duleek. Let's have a listen. Very aggressive.
I hope she wasn't in a line of traffic, as you said, when she did that one there. I mean, you'd be out in the car shaking your fist and more at Kathleen. You're great. We love the sound of your honking horn. Who's next, Louise?
Fergus Cullen in Hayes Navan.
Here we go. Oh, that's a
short
nice...
Short but sweet.
Short but sweet, like an ass's gallop. Yes, really nice, Fergus. We like the sound of yours too. Yep.
David Toomey.
God almighty.
Three in one there, wasn't it?
Three in one. I was going to say that. I don't know how he managed that. Maybe he has different settings on his honking horn. But well done to you. Thanks for taking the time to send it in to us. Next one, please.
I'm going to try Susan Kavanagh.
Okay. And I think that's ourselves in the background there. I nearly caught her. I think I caught Late Lunch there. And well done, Susan. Love that one too. Oh, you're great people. You really, really are. You have more. There's loads. Honestly, there's loads.
Yeah, there is
here.
Loads.
Come on. Let's have another
Anne Gilson.
Oh, that's a real. You know what I mean? That's a
get
real.
Get out of my way.
Firm. Get out of my way here. Anne Gilson behind here. Move your ass. I love it, Anne. I love it. I really do. Come on.
Try Brian Fleming. Let me see.
Okay, Brian, let's see.
Okay, hang on. That's the wind.
Sorry, that's a wind horn. Oh, yeah, we got it. We got it. We got it, Brian. Lovely. Got it there in the background as well. The old windy conditions are difficult, I know, and it's blown a gale out there today. Have you a couple more before we...
Cinta Smith says she's done and the kids think she's nuts.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, that was my fault.
Jacinta, we don't think you're nuts. We love you, Jacinta, honking your horn this afternoon. We really, really do. Give us one more there for the moment and we'll have another listen later on in the show. Okay. Come on.
Maria Carton. Let me see this one.
Well, that's a dainty little one, isn't it? Me, me. Me, me. I like that one. Me, 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 me. Yes, I do like that one. Thank you, Maria. That is really more. Have you time for one
go
more?
On, one more. Anita.
Go on. Anita. Come on, Anita.
Let me see this one.
Come on.
There you go.
Oh, that's just
short
a little...
Short and sweet.
Yeah, that's a little hello, honk your horn, rather than a get out of me way. You know that type of one
that's
as well.
A hello.
I like that. Mm. Keep them coming to us. We have loads and loads. We're not going to get through them all. But remember, it's every day this week. We want you to honk your horn for €100 from Windsor, Cluny, Main Nissan and Peugeot dealers. We'll be back to your honking horns in a little while. Will I mention? I will mention. Have I time to mention my little experience with the return scheme? Have I? Mm-hmm. I went returning my bottles the weekend. I got €5.10. That's quite a few bottles.
Oh, that is a lot, yeah.
Went up to Every Little Helps, Tesco, my usual port of call. Hadn't been there for a few weeks with holidays and things. Quite a few bottles. I'll tell you what annoyed me about it. Went up and put through the bottles. I had a good bag of them, right? Mm. And I had my shopping bags and was getting my trolley and my zapper as well now myself, thanks to little Ava. They wouldn't all go through. I had a few cans and a few bottles that were sent back out of the machine. And now in Tesco, there's no... Remember I was telling you there was a place beside that you could throw the ones into that weren't accepted by the return machines?
Yeah.
No, that's not there anymore. So I had to bring them with me doing me shopping. I wasn't going back out to the bloody car, right? Mm. Got me €5.10 anyway and did me shopping. Bought some more cans and plastic as well on the way. And I was on the way out. I nearly forgot about the €5.10. Anyway, I went to the lady at the desk. She's lovely. And I said, can I have cash for this? I didn't know whether... Yeah, and I got the €5.10. And I said to her, honestly, can you, what do you think of this? I heard, and she said to me, I am a committed recycle person myself. Yeah. Always have been. And she said...
Ridiculous.
And that's... Honestly, she was shaking her head. No. And I agree with her. And a point made was... There's lots not returning the bottles and cans now because it's too unwieldy.
Yeah, yeah.
So where, as we asked before, where is that money going? Yeah. It's got into the coffers. Mm. It's tax. It's another tax. And in my opinion, the thought process behind it and the aim is good. I'm not knocking that at all, but I just think it's ridiculous. I really do. I think it's a pain in the backside.
Yeah.
And I think an awful lot of people feel that too at this stage. And I'm not a fan of return. I have to. And you know me, separating the plastic, the bottles, the cans, going each week to the recycle bins and that, doing the best I can. And I'm a committed person to it as well. And I don't like the return. I'm just saying that today. I don't like it either.
I just think, yeah, I'm with you.
Anyone else with an opinion out there? If you have 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text.
I think the cost has gone up regardless.
Oh, Louise.
Even before they put the tax on it.
Yeah, I think.
It's gone up and then the tax on top of it.
I'd agree with you. The price of the product has gone up and now the tax is on top of that
as well. It's probably doubled in some products.
I love the fella with the string on the can.
Yeah, but apparently, no, that actually doesn't work.
Does it not?
No, because you have to censor or something off it.
Is
so,
it?
Yeah. Apparently.
So when it reads your can, you can't do that.
You can't yank it back out and go back in again.
You can't do what we did years ago when we hadn't the money to play the pool games we minted the coins in lead. No, that's not possible. No, not possible at all. Yeah, just have to say, you know, a huge question mark over it. That's all I'll say. Huge question mark in my book. And I don't think they're getting back the level of plastic or cans that they expected. You know what I mean?
Or maybe they didn't expect it all and that's the whole thing to get the money. Not the plastic.
Do you know this is coming?
They're banking on people not bringing it back.
Do you know this is only the start of it. It's going to come for glass. You know that? And food cans and everything. Jesus, you'll
need it. What's our grain bin for then?
No, well, I tell you. You'll need a truck going shopping. Everyone will need a truck going shopping to bring all the stuff with them to put into this system. Oh no, don't get me started. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Won't need a bin in future, down the road.
Well, it takes away that. Yeah, perhaps they won't have to collect bins, you see, then. You know, the way local authorities have to leave bins and collect them?
Yep.
Perhaps they're thinking they'll do away with that. Never will. Late Lunch, LMFM Radio up shortly. We're going to hear about a push for Paul Community Garda. John Heavey is joining me, but taking us up to our next break at Late Lunch. It's Miss Adele.
Your favourite singer. Still going to our next concert, Jerry.
Will she show up?
I heard that you're settled down, that you found a girl.
My next guest is the crime prevention officer. He's a guard in County Louth. He is crime prevention officer for Louth. He's spoken to us previously on the show, but he's with me today in a personal capacity. John Heavey, welcome back to Late Lunch.
Thank you very much, Jerry.
Great to see you today. I love the name of this, A Push for Paul. Who is Paul? Tell our listeners.
A Push for Paul, yes. Paul Murphy. Paul is originally from Wexford. He's 45 years old. I got to know Paul originally. He went to college with my brother, Joe, and he moved to Drogheda almost 25 years ago. And he worked back then in Hibernian Insurance, if you recall it there. They had an office on West Street in Drogheda at the time.
Well known. Well known, yes.
And Paul lived up here in Drogheda for some time, and I got to know him, Paul, as many people fondly recall him, even 20 years later, a very charismatic individual. Like once you meet Paul, you'll remember him just because of his outgoing personality and his hearty laugh and the fact that he's just a genuine sound guy.
Mm. So he moved away then. His job took him away from Drogheda. He was well known here for years and years. Where did he go then?
Yes, he left Drogheda and he travelled around the world. He went to Australia and to America on the travels, and eventually he settled back in Killarney, and he now resides there with his wife Linda and their two children, Harry, 14, and Sadie, who's 9.
Right. And the reason there is a push for Paul is back in 2019, he felt things just weren't right with his health, yeah?
He did indeed. And even through all that time, you know, he had always continued to live an ordinary full life, you know, as a family man. He's heavily involved in sport and GAA and rugby communities. In fact, Paul now, his first love would be rugby. And he had previously held the position of chairperson of Killarney Rugby Club. And indeed, when he lived in Drogheda here, he was a regular visitor to Boyne Lodge in Drogheda. But as you say, yes, in 2019, Paul noticed that things weren't as they should have been, and with regards to his health. And he began to develop symptoms such as pains in his legs and hips and problems with his balance. So he knew there was something wrong, but he just couldn't put a finger on it.
Mm. So, and off he went then. Of course, the barrage of tests happened and the news came back that he was living with a condition that's a serious condition.
Absolutely. It was back on the 1st of October 2019. Indeed, their world fell apart when he was diagnosed with a neurological condition. It's known as mitochondrial myopathy disease. It's a genetic disease. It's unfortunately, there's no known cure for it, and it's similar in many ways to motor neuron.
And of course, you, John, and we've spoken last week as well about this. You're such a good friend of his and others as well. Thought, you know, what can you do when you find a good friend in a situation like this? And really, you know, his life is devastated and his family's life is devastated by this diagnosis. So you felt you guys had to put something together to help him. So this is where a push for Paul came from.
That's correct. Yeah, I suppose after witnessing firsthand just the devastation that this diagnosis has had on Paul and his family. I remember Paul, when I met him there last year, he said he didn't realise how difficult it was for somebody in a wheelchair until he had to use one himself. And that struck a chord with me. And I felt compelled to try and assist in some way. And that's where a push for Paul was born. I suppose you ask, what is a push for Paul? It's a fundraising idea. It's an event designed, obviously, to raise as much funds as we can for Paul, but also to raise awareness for disability access in Ireland and to acknowledge and recognise the fantastic work that's carried out by the Wheelchair Association here in Ireland as well.
Mm, so there's a dual purpose to this. Will you hear what this push for Paul entails? Tell them what you're going to do. And it's starting in Drogheda this coming Sunday.
That's right, Jerry. At 3 o'clock this coming Sunday, we'll be departing Drogheda. And it's a group of Paul's friends. We'll leave Drogheda and we'll endeavour to push a wheelchair from Drogheda to Killarney over the following week.
Now, that is no short journey. What are you talking about in kilometres? What's the distance involved?
The journey is approximately 350 kilometres.
With a wheelchair?
With a wheelchair.
And you have somebody in this wheelchair, character?
We do indeed. We have our mascot, and our mascot is becoming very famous there recently. Hardy is our mascot, called after Paul and Linda's two children, Harry and Sadie. So.
Ah, yes. You came up with the joint names there. And you have, I saw this, you know, this is done in relays, and you have the route set out, and it's a long, long journey. And you arrive there the following weekend in Killarney. You had no shortage of volunteers, I believe, coming forward to push this wheelchair.
No, we had absolutely none. We were, you know, inundated with people came on board. Initially, it was a number of us in the committee, Paul's friends, who had decided we were going to do this. But when we launched this fundraiser, we were absolutely inundated with requests from people, from businesses, from individuals, GA clubs, people running clubs, people that wanted to get involved, wanted to assist. They thought this is a great cause. They wanted to get involved. So now what we've done is we've broken down all of the legs into, you know, shorter distances, and we have it scheduled out that people will be taking part in relays.
Mm. And your route, just tell us where you're calling. It starts in Drogheda, then it goes, I have it here. Yeah, look at Drogheda, Trim, Tullamore, Nenagh, Adair, Castle Island, and then on to Killarney next Saturday, the 27th. Are you going to do it? Are you going to complete all this league? Yeah, you have this worked out logistically, I take it.
And we have, look, there's a lot of work has gone on there. Yeah. It's in planning since last August. And again, we have a fantastic committee. And again, this is a testament to the man that Paul is, the amount of friends that have come together, you know, willing to give up their time. And it's for Paul. And again, it's very easy to do that. That's all we can do for him, you know.
And there's a whole support team will be travelling along with the guys and girls at the wheelchair as well to give them all the assistance they need along the way. Are you doing any collecting along the way or not?
We will be. We have a number of ways that people can get involved. But also we will have collection booklets along the way. So if anybody involved,
so
anybody sees us.
It starts in Drogheda this Sunday on the steps of St. Peter's Church.
That's correct.
At what time?
We'll be there, I suppose, after between 1 and 3 p.m. But we will be getting ready to depart. But the one and only Tom Maguire...
Brilliant, Tom.
We'll be providing entertainment of the day, but we will be leaving at 3 p.m.
Okay, so and everybody welcome down to St. Peter's in the heart of Drogheda this Sunday to wish everybody well and wave you off on your journey and throw a few pounds into the kitty because the collections will start, I take it, in Drogheda and continue then on along the way.
They will indeed, but I suppose our fundraising to date has mainly been based on the iDonate platform, Jerry.
Yes. Will you give that out, please, to listeners? Because people today, I'm sure, would like to help. So it's iDonate. How do people contribute?
Well, if people wish to contribute, there are two ways. We have the iDonate platform. If you log on to the iDonate platform and search A Push for Paul, it's www.idonate.com/fundraiser/ A Push for Paul. There's two options. Then there is a fundraising page, but we also have a raffle page as well there that people can log on to and they can donate.
And I see many celebrities as well have lent their support. I'll just give a few of them, like Henry de Bromhead, the wonderful horse trainer, Dermot Bannon of Room to Improve Fate, a man who was with me the other day here in Late Lunch, Daniel O'Donnell as well, no less, the likes of Nathan Carter. So many people from the world of sport, business, entertainment, right behind this too.
Absolutely. We have a social media platform that has been built. We'd like to say thanks to Aileen and Clodagh at Green Acre Marketing, who are doing Trojan work for us, and our pages on Instagram, Facebook and LinkedIn. Hashtag Push for Paul. All the details can be found there. We'd ask people, if you like to go on, please, and to like, follow and to spread the story on social media. And even, you know, perhaps even, you never know, after today, Jerry, you might have another local celebrity and yourself might have time to
I'll do that for sure.
To send out a message. We'd be delighted.
Absolutely. I'll do that. That's the least I could do. I know he's in hospital at the minute and we wish him well. And it's a stressful time for his family. He was hoping to be here with you to launch the start of it and then meet you in Kerry when you arrive there. But he can't, unfortunately, but his son is going to be here on Sunday.
That's correct. Look, he did, unfortunately, a couple of weeks ago, he suffered a setback with his health, and he was really looking forward to coming back to Drogheda and to following this journey. And Paul wanted to, you know, he's a very gracious guy, and he wanted to come up and to thank people himself. But unfortunately, it looks like he won't be able to make it up to Drogheda for the start. But as he says himself, he continues to fight the good fight. But he's going to be well represented up here. Harry, his son, is going to be coming up. So Harry will be cutting the ribbon and launching A Push for Paul on Sunday.
So again, if you go onto the iDonate, you can contribute or enter the raffle. That's fantastic prizes. An iPhone 15, a big TV, two tickets to Coldplay. Are you joking me? It's worth entering that this raffle for that alone, I have to say. Overnight stay in Druids Glen and in the Lady Gregory Hotel as well. They are wonderful prizes if you enter the raffle. You know you're in to win one of these as well. Good God, there'll be a battle over them Coldplay tickets, I can tell you. I don't know how you got hold of those. Anyway, well done to you for getting them. You set it yourself a big target for this, I have to say, John. When I saw the figure, like, you set yourself 100,000, but would you give listeners the latest total today, please?
Yes, Sherry. Look, I suppose it was an ambitious minimum target, we're calling it, but I just checked there before I came in this morning and I can say we've just currently crossed over €91,000 and has been donated.
Isn't that fantastic? Between sponsorship and contribution and raffle and everything, you're almost there, but you want to push it beyond that. I know that. It's a push for Paul and it's a push beyond that 100K as well, you know?
You know, absolutely, Jerry. Literally, you know, every cent will count and it's all going to help Paul. It's going for the expenses, you know, his medical care, just the adapting of his house, wheelchair accessible, and there's a lot of expenses. And you know, we had set a target of 100,000, so we just, if the people of the Northeast can row in behind us, we would be so appreciative there, you know, to give this push for Paul.
I think you've done a wonderful job, I have to say, John. You and everybody else who've been involved with this. It's one of the most professional fundraising events I've ever seen. Do you want to mention something else just before we finish, yeah?
Jerry, just, yeah, I suppose if any businesses or any people out there would like to support the fundraiser, you know, we can be contacted. We have our website there is apushforpaul@gmail.com, or the telephone number if people wish to take it down is 087-479-5755. And again, you know, if you care to log on to the I Donate platform, search A Push for Paul. And again, on our social media pages, #PushForPaul. We'd really appreciate all help.
All begins on Sunday afternoon, St. Peter's, the SEP St. Peter's in Drogheda, with Tom Maguire, entertainment and lots more besides. And they're on their way then to Killarney, arriving next Saturday. Every euro is appreciated. You've done really good for your friend, may I say. John, I wish you well with everything. And thank you so much for joining me on Late Lunch today. Delighted to highlight this for you.
Thank you very much, Jerry.
Oh, darling, it's strange because you and I are strangers all over again.
Lewis Capaldi on your Late Lunch this Monday afternoon. What a talent that man is. Love that song. It's Strangers from Lewis. Wonderful to hear him in the hit parade once again. Now, what was I to say to you? The return scheme. Sean was on to say, you're so right. Why try to fix something that wasn't broken? It's designed to counteract those people who drop their cans and bottles in the street. But Sean says, it's us that are suffering for it. That's true. We were recycling the cans and bottles before all this, Jerry. It's another taxation scam. Anyway, great win for the Villa. Villa creeping up the table. A great win for the Villa indeed. Now, you're honking your horns for us across the Northeast, Louise's Avenue. But look at that message. I have to say to Daryl and Talon in Clotterhead, Jerry, every time you beep those horns, my little poppy goes mad because he always lets me know if a car pulls up outside the house. Well, fingers into little Poppy's ears for the next couple of minutes, because we want to have a listen to more of your horn honking across the Northeast. Why are you doing it? For 100 euro cash from Windsor, Cluny, Maine, Nissan and Peugeot dealers. They have a big certified used car sales event on at the moment. Give them a shout. Louise, roll it there. You have a few more for us to hear. What
try this one.
Okay.
Sean Kelly in Ballinternavon.
Ah, Sean.
Your favourite.
Sean. Brilliant, brilliant. Very famous one indeed if you're a sports or football fan in particular. Well done, Sean. Next up.
With you in the background.
That's me in the background.
Who, in the background.
Who is that there?
Paddy Sarsfield.
Good man, Paddy.
Europe Car.
Good man, Paddy. Well done to you. Got you there loud and clear.
Clara's only delighted to be able to honk the horn more than once.
Oh, come on. Jeepers, I jumped myself there. Well, that's little Clara, is it, with our mam, or is it that Clara
Sarah
that has...
Sarah Gray in Dundalk.
Sarah Gray. Well done to you, Sarah Gray. Got you today. Lovely,
let me see,
lovely,
I'm just
lovely.
Going here. Let me see. Anne-Marie Kelleher in Navan. Let's see this.
Lovely. Come on. Let's have it. Ooh.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, that's just short and sweet again, isn't it? Just a little, I like that one too. Listen, we could play these all afternoon.
But that's a good thing. Yes, do take care when you're doing this. A good point made. Louise, I saw something on Saturday in my...
John the taxi.
Now look what we're saying to you all. Be careful driving.
Yeah, just maybe
just be careful.
Be
now
stopped.
You know when you're doing this, be concentrating, be stopped. Probably is the best thing to do rather than driving along. To be honest with you, because we don't want to be responsible for any accidents across the Northeast. Never mind honking your horns. There's loads and loads and loads of them, and all we can do is thank you for sending them all into us. And we have 100 euro up for grabs each day, and we will have each day this week. So if you're not pulled out from the hat today, there will be a chance each afternoon. 100 euro coming from Windsor, Cluny, Maine, Nissan and Peugeot dealers. It's 100 euro in cash paid by way of digital MasterCard. It's cash into your hand. Keep them coming to us. 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp on the show this afternoon. and we'll pick a winner. We're going to put all the names and numbers into a hat and just draw at random today, and we'll do that each day this week. Still to come on Late Lunch after 3, doggy bags. Do you ever ask for a doggy bag in a restaurant, Louise? We're going to be talking about it after 3. Would you?
Mm.
Would you actually ask for a doggy bag, or would you just ask, could we take that, say, slices of pizza or something?
Could you put that in a doggy bag for me, please?
Is that what you actually ask?
Mm-hmm.
For a doggy bag?
Mm-hmm.
And is it for your doggy?
No.
So, tell me this.
Well, they know. Like, it's just because if my son won't eat something, he generally doesn't finish it. And I say, look, he's not going to finish it. Can we bring me home? Would you put it in a doggy bag? And they go, no problem.
Doesn't add up. Why is it called a doggy bag?
Because I think traditionally they bring it home to the dog.
But now people wouldn't let the dog next or near it. It's for the table.
Yeah, it's too expensive.
Later or the following day.
Yeah. Absolutely. Why would you not ask for a doggy bag? And they have lovely styrofoam little packaging these days.
You see, I'm a savage for bacon and cabbage. There'd be nothing to put into my doggy bag, only the clean plate.
Oh, okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
I would never leave food behind me in a restaurant. I clean, I eat everything that's put in front of me. I wouldn't leave anything to be brought away with me. Now, there are picky eaters. I agree with you.
Mm.
Or children mightn't be that hungry.
Children,
you know, they need part of it. They wouldn't need another part of it. I understand that as well. And I know picky eaters who get a full dinner, but, you know, turn things around on the plate. And it's an awful waste when that happens, I have to say.
And food is so expensive these days.
Do you think it's...
But some people, if you say doggy bag, they actually think it's the doggy bag for doggy poo.
What?
Yeah, some people think it's like doggy bag in restaurant. Isn't that not for doggy poo? That's a big problem, all right. I actually said that earlier and somebody goes, yeah, that's a big problem. And I said, no, it's doggy bag in restaurants, not doggy bag for doggy poo.
Yeah,
and
no, went, it's the restaurants we're talking about.
It's the food. It's the leftover food.
Do you think it is a bigger thing today than it was in previous years? More people bringing home food in doggy bags. What do you think?
I'd say people are more likely to ask. I think it was kind of some people were ashamed to ask in the past.
Well, there you go. Well, we're going to see is there shame or no shame, what it's about after 3 on the show. And we have a brand new Artist of the Week. Well, they're Artists of the Week for you, but we're on the way. Top of the hour now to news, weather and sport and Late Lunch. Windsor, Cluny, Maine, Nissan and Peugeot dealers have a big certified used car event on at the moment with great savings, a 3-year warranty on over 100 certified used cars. Check them out. They've given us €100 each day to give away in cash, paid by way of digital MasterCard to one of you all week on Late Lunch. So €100 each day. What do you have to do? Honk your horn for the €100. That's what you have to do. And loads of you have been honking your horns all over the northeast this afternoon. We put them all in, spun the spin, and one has come out. Let's have a listen to it first and we'll tell you who it is. Go on, Louise. And that is Sarah Gray in Dundalk. Well done to you. You are the winner this afternoon of the €100 cash. More honking horns tomorrow on Late Lunch and another €100 up for grabs. Almost 3:10 on Late Lunch just means one thing.
The Late Lunch Artist of the Week.
Artist of the Week.
Yes, and I love these fellas for sure. Gary Barlow, Mark Owen, Howard Donald, Robbie Williams and Jason Orange. You know what I mean, don't you? Yes, our Artists of the Week this week are Take That, and we're going back to the year of our Lord, 1990 in Manchester, when they were formed by a guy called Nigel Martin Smith, who wanted to create a British male vocal singing group modelled on New Kids on the Block. Remember those fellas from the States? Yeah, he wanted a teen-oriented group that could appeal to many demographic segments of the audience out there. And he did it because he brought these guys together. The oldest of them actually was Howard Donald at 22, and down the ages they went from there. That was 1990. Didn't take them too long to get going. And my song today, well, it's an early one from them because I take it from their debut studio album, Take That and Party, 1992. This song was written a few years earlier by the wonderful lead vocalist and songwriter Gary Barlow. He was only 15, actually, when he wrote this one. My Artist of the Week this week, we kick off with a wonderful song, one I absolutely love. Yes, it's Take That and A Million Love Songs.
put your head against my life. What do you hear? A million words just trying to make the love song of the year. Close your eyes, but don't forget what you have heard. A man who's trying to say three words, the words that make me scared. A million love songs later, here I am trying to tell you that I care.
Radio Romance on Late Lunch on LMFM this Monday afternoon. Yes, a million love songs from my artists of the week, Take That, and we'll have more wonderful music from Take That and a bit about them over the course of the week ahead. The doggy bag. Yes, the doggy bag. We're going to talk about it next on Late Lunch. Stay with us. The dictionary definition, Louise, says a bag used by a restaurant customer or party guest to take home leftover food, supposedly for the dog. Is that fair? Supposedly.
Supposedly.
That's the word, isn't it?
Mm.
Supposedly. Do you want to tell the story? Did you tell me
Oh,
story?
Yes, yes, yeah, yes.
Go on, tell the
mother-in-law tells the story, and she's a great storyteller, so it's better than I'm going to tell it. But she was out for dinner one day with a number of women. And she didn't know herself and her friend, and they were with these other women. And at the end of the meal, anyway, a lot of the other women didn't finish their meal in this restaurant. So they called one lady called the waitress over and said, oh, would you mind if I brought that home for my dog? Could you put it in a doggy bag, please? And a few of the other women said, oh, yes, that's a great idea. Yes, my dog would love that too. And my dog would love that too. And one of the women whispered to my mother-in-law, says, they don't have any dogs. So anyway, they said nothing. And the waitress came back, took all the plates away. And the waitress came back with six styrofoam cartons and just doled them out willy-nilly. Great. And one of the women says, but how do we know which meal is which? And the waitress says, but sure, the dogs don't mind.
Good on the waitress. Good on you. Good on you. I love that story. That just shows you. It reveals something for sure. Kira Berg, our good friend from Sage and Stone and Delique, is on the line. Kira.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Louise. How are you doing?
We're doing really good. Tell me this. Do customers, well, we just wanted to know, get a feel for from a restaurateur's point of view, is it a thing? Do many people ask for doggy bags today?
Yeah, no, a good few would be, especially like if they had meat left over or anything, they would. But like if I was looking at someone and they looked like they've only eaten half of their food, I'm like, I'd usually say, do you want to bring that home? You can have it for your tea later. Like, I mean, because you know the way some older people, they don't like big portions. And if there's a big portion of, say, lasagna or something on the plate and they haven't eaten it, I'll always put it into a bag for them and give it to them. But no, if they want. But I wouldn't, like, generally I'll ask if people haven't finished, I'll say, is everything okay?
Yeah.
And would you like to take it home? Or, you know, generally they'll say either yes or no.
Yeah.
I'd always preempt. They wouldn't have to ask.
Okay. So you're ahead of the posse with this and you don't leave them in a position at all. You ask, and that's what you want your staff to do as well. Do most people say yes? Would the majority say yes? Yeah, I'll take it with me.
No, I'd say half and half.
All right.
Some would just let it go into the bin.
Oh, I see. God almighty. Would you?
Two pigs at the back of our place, so they're quite happy.
I was going to ask you what you do. You're even ahead of me at this stage. I'll tell you one thing.
Beyonce and George have got very fast lately.
No,
lots of people are leaving, sir.
But Ciara, no better food for pigs. My God, I'm thinking of the pork crackling. Should I be saying that? No.
Well, no, you're not really meant to give them. It doesn't make like cannibalism. So we kind of don't give them pork.
Yeah,
we give them
What I'm thinking is when they come to the end of our lives, the flavour of the pork crackling from Beyonce.
Ours are pets, so
all right.
I keep telling the kids that we'll be having them for Christmas some year. But I couldn't eat Beyonce, and I have to say. And she's too fat.
I'll tell you one thing.
It's all fat.
I'd give Beyonce a go myself, to be honest with you.
Well, now we're never know.
we're talking about pork here. Please keep it clean, keep it country. But you know, back to the doggy bag thing. Do you think it's something that has become more prominent? You know what I mean? In recent times, you know, when with things going up in price and that people, you know, you said it's 50-50, but would there be an increase in people looking to bring home the food? Do you think, in an overall sense?
Yeah, no, a lot of people. Some people would ask for it. Some people might be afraid to ask, but I'd always say, geez, that's an awful waste of food. Do you want to bring it home? And they nearly always say yes.
Yeah.
So maybe they're afraid to ask.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. There might be a little bit of embarrassment there. But listen, it's generally not for the dog anymore. It's to be consumed later by the people themselves or someone in the family.
Like if these little ladies that have little bird appetites. And they'd only be able to eat half it. So, I mean, it'd be nice to have that with a cup of tea later on.
Mary's just been on to say, Gerry, to be honest with you, now going out to eat, I just ask for a half portion dinner, and that does me. That's a fairly sensible thing. Do you do half portions in Sage and Stone? Or do you do? Is it the full?
We don't really, because we're kind of a lunchtime. So we don't do kind of big dinners.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you're going in for a Carvery or something, they do a half portion or whatever.
Yes.
So we'd have our things like portioned out. They're usually kind of lunch. You know, but like to be honest, we don't get an awful lot of waste.
Yeah.
You know, like it's usually people are coming in, they're hungry and they'll eat.
Yeah.
And look, we found that breakfast and lunch has nearly become the new going out, especially for a certain age group of people who don't like driving at night, who don't like, you know, the drink driving laws and all that kind of stuff. And they come out during the day and they meet their friends and they generally have a glass of wine or you know, someone will drive them home or whatever, and they'll finish their dinner.
But
there isn't a huge amount of waste, but like people are careful. Like even desserts, like if there's a cake that's given out that's too big, like they'll bring half at home.
Yeah,
and that's grand. I'm not going to judge anyone.
The only unhappy ones in Sage and Stone are Beyonce and her friend Yvette.
Exactly.
All heads out the door and they don't have treats for themselves. That's
they are like, I have goats, donkeys, the whole lot. Like, so they'll all eat. You know what I mean? But I don't generally like to give them too many scraps because they have to eat a proper diet as well. But, you know, but the food waste thing is a huge thing. You know, like off plate waste and just waste of, you know. So I'm just trying to come up with something that I can either compost it all or whatever. So, that's the next thing.
I'll tell you, them pigs are doing a fine job for you. Tell us in general sense with the trade, how are things with the weather we've been enjoying?
Yeah, no, I have to say we've been very busy, Gerry, but as I was complaining about, I'm always complaining about the price thing, but, you know, it's tough on business. It's tough on all restaurants at the moment because people have just, you know, there's less money out there to spend and, you know, the cost of living crisis and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's tough, but you just have to keep going.
Yeah. Now, what else? What else?
Can you... There's nobody in an easy business nowadays.
Mm.
Like, everybody works hard.
Yeah. And if you don't put your shoulder to the wheel, well, you know what I mean? You won't be in the business too long. That is for sure. Anyway, doggy bags are doggy bags. And never confused with the other doggy bag, as Louise was saying earlier, where people are looking for doggy bags to pick up the doo-doos of the dogs.
We've plenty of those. We've plenty of those because we've our doggy park here.
Yeah.
The dogs come out and play. But Yeah, no, we won't confuse the two.
No confuse. Make sure you never do. That's very important. Kira, lovely to catch your words with you today. Thanks a million.
No bother.
Take care.
Have a good day.
You
enjoy
too.
Enjoy the lovely rain.
Bye. Yeah, enjoy the rain. I just looked at the forecast. Tomorrow's not a good day. I think I was predicting Tuesday for it to be dry, but I'll just pull back maybe 24 hours on that. So I will into the Wednesday. And there's a drop of moisture coming tomorrow our way. So I better mark your cards at this stage. If you're going to hang out the washing on the line, forget about Tuesday. Leave it aside. I'd wait till Wednesday at this stage. But the good weather is on the way. The big H is on the way from the Atlantic. It is going to be warmer and drier as the week progresses. And we will be with you during that week here on Late Lunch. Eddie Caffrey's on his way with the drive here on LMFM Radio next. Stay with us. Great music and more besides. And we'll be back with your Late Lunch Tuesday from 1:30. Have a lovely evening. Hong Kong, we'll see you then.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.